I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word Podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word Podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money. That'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.
MSW Media.
Hello, and welcome to the Daily Beans for Friday, April 19th, 2024. Today, 12 jurors have been seated and sworn in, as well as one alternate in the election interference trial of Donald Trump. Craig Ross gets 47 years to life in prison for kidnapping a 9-year-old girl from an upstate New York park. The Department of Justice is nearing a settlement over the FBI's failure to investigate Larry Nassar. The Kennedy family has endorsed Joe Biden, and the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington has filed a complaint against Trump's $50 million parked loan. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
Hey, Dana, it's Friday. That means it's Fugelsang Friday. How are you?
I am good, and I love to hear from John and his hair every Friday.
John and his hair will be here later in the show. Just a couple quick things here before we get to the hot notes. We have a jury seated and sworn in the election interference trial after Thursday. Plus, we have one alternate that's been seated and sworn. We may have the rest done tomorrow, 5 more alternates, though today we did have a juror change their mind after getting a lot of messages from people who recognized her as a jury member from all of the descriptions from the press. So the press has been asked to not report on their previous and current employers and to try to keep that identification to a minimum. So there could be dropouts on Friday. We'll see. Both sides are out of strikes, but I think they each get two for the alternates, two strikes for alternates. But I'll keep an eye on it and we'll let you know. Okay. And of course, Pete and I are going to go over this in detail on the next cleanup on L45. Also, Judge Mehta has denied Donald Trump's motion. He wanted to indefinitely stay all of those civil suits against him for January 6th, pending his criminal proceedings. And the judge was like, no, sorry.
Good.
Yeah. Don't commit crimes if you don't want to have a bunch of stuff going on. The Senate has also advanced the FISA reauthorization bill. They've advanced it. This was just passed by the House. Of course, first the House blocked it, but then they passed it. So we've got that. And really good news, Dana, just breaking now. Nevada Supreme Court is allowing the abortion measure to be on the ballot this November.
Fantastic.
So if passed, the measure would enshrine the right to abortion in the state constitution. That's going to bring voters out in the swing state of Nevada. Well, it's pretty blue, but we'll see.
Yeah, it was a little scary with the Senate race, so I'm glad.
Yep. All right, everybody, we have a lot of news to get to. Let's hit the hot notes. Hot notes. All right, from Juliette Marcour and Glenn Thrush at the New York Times, the Justice Department is nearing a $100 million settlement over its failure to investigate Lawrence Nassar, the former USA Gymnastics team doctor. And I'm going to give a content warning here for everybody for sexual assault. But this was the gymnastics team doctor convicted of sexually abusing girls under his care. And that's according to people familiar with the discussions. The deal, which could be announced in the coming weeks, would bring an end to one of the last major cases stemming from the horrific sports scandal, with around 100 victims in line to receive compensation. Now, the approach of a settlement comes 2.5 years after senior FBI officials publicly admitted that agents had failed to take quick action when the U.S. national team athletes complained about Mr. Nassar to the Bureau's Indianapolis field office in 2015. That's when Mr. Nassar was a respected physician known for working with Olympians and college athletes. I would remove respected. He has been accused of abusing more than 150 women and girls over the years. The broad outline of the deal is in place, but it has yet to be completed, according to several people with knowledge of the talks, who are also speaking on the condition of anonymity. The details of the settlement were reported earlier by the Wall Street Journal. It would be the latest in a series of big payouts that reflected the inability of institutions to protect hundreds of athletes, including the Olympic gold medalist Simone Biles and another Olympic gold medalist, Michaela Maroney, and the gold medalist Ali Raisman, from a doctor who justified his serial sexual abuse by claiming he was using, quote, unconventional treatments. In 2018, Michigan State University, which employed Mr. Nassar, paid more than $500 million into a victim compensation fund, believed to be the largest settlement by a university in a sexual abuse case. 3 years later, USA Gymnastics and the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee reached a $380 million settlement. Many of the girls and women abused by Nassar have battled mental health issues, including anxiety and depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, and some have attempted suicide because of the abuse, which Mr. Nassar perpetuated under the guise of medical treatment. A 2021 report by the DOJ Inspector General found that senior FBI officials in the Indianapolis field office failed to respond to the allegations, quote, with the utmost seriousness and urgency that they deserved and required, and that the investigation did not proceed until after the news media detailed Mr. Nassar's abuse. FBI officials in the office also, quote, made numerous and fundamental errors when they did not respond to the allegations and failed to notify state or local authorities of the allegations or take other steps to address the threat posed by Mr. Nassar. That's from the Inspector General report. In a heart-wrenching testimony 2 months later, former members of the National Gymnastics team described how the FBI had turned a blind eye to his abuse as the investigation stalled and children suffered. Some, including Ms. Raisman, said that the agents moved slowly to investigate even after they presented the Bureau with graphic evidence of his actions. The revelations prompted an extraordinary apology from the FBI director, Chris Wray, who did not oversee the Bureau when the investigation began, but he said, I am sorry that so many people let you down over and over again. And I'm especially sorry that there were people at the FBI who had their own chance to stop this monster back in 2015. It should never have happened, and we're doing everything in our power to make sure it never happens again, he said. The impending settlement is one of several the DOJ has reached over the past decade. The others involve victims of mass shootings. Families of 26 people killed in 2017 at a church in Texas received $144.5 million. The mass shooting in Parkland, Florida, resulted in the DOJ paying families $127.5 million. Mr. Nassar is now serving a 60-year prison sentence in Florida, where he was stabbed multiple times by an inmate in July, and he suffered a collapsed lung but survived his injuries.
Thank you so much for reporting that one, AG. All right, there's a content warning on this story as well for kidnapping and sexual assault of a minor from NBC. A man was sentenced on Wednesday to 47 years to life in prison for kidnapping and sexually assaulting a 9-year-old girl who went missing from a state park in upstate New York last year. Craig N. Ross Jr. pleaded guilty in February to taking the girl September 30th from a campground at Murrow Lake State Park. This is a rural area about 35 miles north of Albany. The child had been riding on a bike path with friends at the campground near her home on Saturday evening when she went to take one last lap on the path on her own, and she didn't return. The disappearance sparked a 2-day search involving more than 100 people before the girl was found alive in a cabinet at a camper Ross was staying in. The break in the case came when law enforcement guarding the girl's home saw someone place a ransom note in its mailbox. Police eventually matched fingerprints on the note to Ross, who was in the database because of a 1999 drunk driving case, and state police and an FBI SWAT team then descended on the camper. Ross, who had previously been scheduled to stand trial this month, was sentenced to a minimum of 25 years to life in prison for kidnapping charge and 22 years to life for predatory sexual assault of a child, with the sentences to be served consecutively.
Yeah, that's how terrifying. Thanks for reporting on that. I know it wasn't easy. All right, this next story is from the Crew website. That's the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. Donald Trump should be investigated for knowingly and willfully making false statements about debts owed to his Chicago business on his public financial disclosure reports, according to a complaint today filed by the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington with the FBI and the Department of Justice. Between 2015 and 2023, Trump disclosed owing more than $50 million to his own Chicago business, a claim he signed to be true, complete, and correct to the best of his knowledge. However, a court-appointed monitor revealed that she was told by the Trump Organization that this Chicago loan never existed. A false claim of being owed tens of millions of dollars could be part of a tax avoidance scheme known as debt parking, or could conceal a hidden debt to another party. That monitor, the court-appointed monitor, is retired Judge Barbara Jones. Quote, Donald Trump has a long history of lying about his finances, that there's a big difference between lying about them in the press and lying about them on government disclosure forms. That's Crew President Noah Bookbinder. He said, this isn't his normal puffery. This is another potential violation of criminal law. The purpose of public financial disclosures is to ensure public confidence in the integrity of the federal government by demonstrating that high-level government officials are able to carry out their duties without conflicts of interest. If Trump knowingly and intentionally falsified his disclosures, he will have undermined the public trust that these laws are designed to protect. Quote, no one is above the law. The rules that apply to everyone else in this executive branch must also apply to Donald Trump. That's what Bookbinder said, and he finished with, the FBI and DOJ must investigate.
Thank you so much, AG. Man, this guy cannot stop, can he? Mm-mm. All right, this is from The Times, a broad coalition of the Kennedy family. I actually love the story. Will endorse President Joe Biden on Thursday at a campaign rally in Philadelphia, pointedly rejecting one of their own in Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the independent candidate who many Democrats believe poses a significant threat to Biden, his reelection chances. I don't know, every time he says something kookier, I feel like he's taking Trump voters, but yeah. Among the relatives of Mr. Kennedy expected to back Mr. Biden are his siblings, Joseph, Carrie, Rory, Kathleen, Maxwell, and Christopher. The Biden campaign released a list of 15 Kennedys set to appear at the rally. I know, but it said other family members would endorse the president as well. Carrie Kennedy is going to introduce Mr. Biden at the rally. This is what the campaign said. And Joe Kennedy III, Mr. Kennedy's nephew and former Democratic congressman from Massachusetts, he will do so at a second event. The show of force is going to send the clearest signal yet that America's most storied Democratic family is deeply fearful that one of its own could tip the 2024 election to former President Trump and hopes to use its influence to try to stop him. Quote, nobody competes with President Biden when it comes to carrying on the legacies of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Ted Kennedy. This is from Carrie Kennedy. That's what she said to ABC's Good Morning America on Thursday, adding, I think there is no competition with him. We need to assure that he is elected. Many family members have previously expressed strong disapproval of Mr. Kennedy's candidacy, voicing anguish about his promotion of conspiracy theories and confusion about why he is challenging a Democratic president they admire. Like many Democrats, they worry that he could help Trump win if he draws even a small number of votes away from Biden in the battleground states, in those contests that were decided by just tens of thousands of votes in 2020. Responding to the move by his family members, Mr. Kennedy refrained from criticizing them. Quote, "I hear some of my family will be endorsing President Biden today." This is what he wrote on social media. "I'm pleased that they are politically active. It's a family tradition. We are divided in our opinions, but united in our love for each other." Mr. Trump is likely to remain the main target of attacks at the Philadelphia event, but the symbolic repudiation of Mr. Kennedy, it's not going to be subtle. Quote, "We can today, with no less urgency, that our rights and freedoms are once again in peril." And that again was from Carrie Kennedy. And this is according to excerpts from her speech shared by with the Biden campaign. And she went on to say in the speech, "That is why we all need to come together in a campaign that should unite not only Democrats, but all Americans, including Republicans and independents, who believe in what Lincoln called the better angels of our nature." Such a good quote. Members of the Kennedy family also denounced an ad that a super PAC supported Mr. Kennedy that they ran during the Super Bowl. I think we all saw that. We're horrified. The ad closely resembles a spot supporting John F. Kennedy, his uncle, during his 1960 bid for the White House. Still, Donald has signaled that he, too, sees Mr. Kennedy as potentially attracting voters away from his campaign. He posted on social media last month that Mr. Kennedy was more, quote, radical left than Mr. Biden, casting him as a liberal Democrat in disguise. Yeah, yet Mr. Trump has also privately expressed intrigue with the idea of choosing Mr. Kennedy as his running mate, a notion that those close to him consider unrealistic and that Mr. Kennedy himself has rejected.
Yeah, well, thank you for that reporting. I remember when the Kennedys visited the White House on St. Patrick's Day, and they were all wearing green and their little it was pretty adorable. But man, that's a big pack of Kennedys. There's a lot.
Yeah, that is a big pack of Kennedys.
There's a lot of them.
A big pack of Kennedys is called a democracy.
A democracy of Kennedys.
Yeah, yes, democracy of Kennedys.
That's the collective noun for a Kennedy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that reporting. As you know, it's Fuglesang Friday. We'll be right back with Mr. Fuglesang. And then, of course, we'll have the good news. Stick around. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. As you know, it's Friday, and that means it's Fuglesang Fridays here on the Daily Bean. So I am joined by my friend, host of Tell Me Everything on Sirius XM Channel 127. Progress, right? Sirius XM Progress.
I think that's where we are.
Yes, I believe that is where you are located, and that is weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And if you don't have Sirius, you can listen to the John Fuglesang Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. That's nice and free. Please welcome John Fuglesang. Hello.
Greetings from Los Angeles. Alistair,
yes.
I'm on your coast this week.
Yes, you're on the best coast, and thank you very much. No shade to the East Coast. I'm going there to, you know, tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that.
Exciting.
I love that. I love it there, too. I love every place here. There's wonderful people in every single city
I gotta
in this
tell you,
country.
We just opened the Sexy Liberal Tour last weekend in Minneapolis. The Save the World Tour, because we're in business with Live Nation now. And it was a lot of fun. It was a big party. A lot of people at the meet and greet, big fans of yours. But yeah, you know, I love Minneapolis. And it was when I was in Minnesota, I realized that thanks to Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think I now owe Michelle Bachmann an apology. And that's how much I love Minnesota and this whole country. So yeah, I owe Michelle Bachmann a big apology after Boebert and Marge.
Marge, good old Marge. We'll talk about that in a second. I want to get to some of the wacky hearings that are going on in Congress. And, you know, now that we are looking like we can get Ukraine aid passed, finally, we may have... they may be able to get back to Appliance Week. But we'll talk about that in a second. Right now... My phone is blowing up because I was just mentioned in voir dire for the first criminal trial of a former president. So I feel like it's a little bit of a historic moment.
Congratulations.
For me, juror B565 was asked.
Does your family know? Does your family know yet? This is so
big. I haven't called mom
yet.
And she doesn't text. So, you know. She's still got one of those old flip phones. She refuses to even bother text. Like, I used to text her, she'll immediately call me, don't do that. But This is interesting because right now I feel like there are probably Trump acolytes and attorneys combing through my Twitter feed.
Yes.
To see what kind of a news source I am, because Juror B565 was asked where they who they follow on Twitter, where they get their news, and they said Mueller, she wrote. And that's a little gross. That feels a little gross. I felt like putting out a tweet like, hi, Trump lawyers looking through my feed right now. How you doing? But I don't want to mess with this. I don't want to mess with the jury and jury selection. But wouldn't it be cool if I forced Team Trump to burn one of their juror strikes?
I mean, you'd have a small role in history in this story and in the first ever criminal trial of a former president. Although I don't think we should view it that way. I think we should view it as the first criminal trial of a former president this year. But yeah, I mean, you, that's amazing. Like, first off, congratulations on being the podcast of choice among working New Yorkers and Manhattanites. Very well done. As a working Manhattanite, I listen to you all the time. But yeah, I mean, I was a clue on Jeopardy once, and I'm jealous of you. This is
That's awesome.
This is historic, cool. Because when this whole trial first began, I think a lot of people didn't take it seriously. When Alvin Bragg, you know, had a grand jury that returned the indictments, a lot of people thought, okay, this is the trial balloon case. You know, this is what we'll see how this canary in the coal mine does. And there weren't riots when Trump was indicted for the first time for this case a year ago. Very small crowds showing up outside the courtroom. He's not getting that kind of January 6th mob to come to his defense. We're really witnessing not just an historic breakdown in his abilities to function in public, but, I mean, the civics lesson we're all going to get from this. I mean, everyone is going to know every detail of this trial.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they are. And sometimes too much detail, right? We had a little bit of an incident with a couple of jurors today who said, you know, when I got home yesterday, my phone was blowing up because of all the information that was released about me personally. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel comfortable serving on this jury. That's the kind of shit that happens in trials of mob bosses, violent criminals, and drug cartels. Shouldn't be involved in a business falsification, white collar crime by a former president. But yet, here we are. These jurors are aware of the potential danger that they could face by getting their identities released to the public. And that in itself, I think, speaks volumes about who Donald Trump is.
Yeah. I mean, if I was called for this jury, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't be allowed to serve, but I'd bring a Bible and a Quran with me just to be extra safe and I hold them up. I would be terrified to be on a jury like this because of the potential for danger. And who knows who might reach out to you or people you love. But I want to thank you for referring to it as a campaign finance fraud case, because I'm trying to get better with my language, Ms. Gill. Like, they're not illegals. They're Christian refugees. I'm working on that one. And it's not student loan debt forgiveness. It's student loan interest payment forgiveness. I'm working on that one. But I think the most important one of this year is it's campaign finance fraud. It's not a hush money case. And the media really likes that term. And I worry that just that term alone makes it sound like a private affair between lovers a la Bill Clinton that's none of our business. I think it's normalizing Trump's behavior just by going with this hush money meme.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I've been working real hard to refer to it as the election interference case, 2016 election interference case, campaign finance violation case, because that's what it is. That's the underlying crime that elevated all of these misdemeanor falsifying of business records to felonies. And that is why he is on trial for 34 felonies as opposed to 34 misdemeanors.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I looked up a bunch of previous cases for people who have been charged with falsification of business records as a felony, and all of them pled out and got misdemeanors and didn't go to jail. So I really don't have anything to compare it to, because here we have somebody who refuses to cop a plea and to stay out of jail. Because his ego will not let him, his defiance and Darvo and narcissism and all the things that he is plagued with won't allow him to do that, just to stay out of prison. So I don't know. I don't have a good grip on whether or not if he convicted, he would serve any jail time. I sure hope he does. He deserves to.
No, I don't think that'll happen. He'll get probation. He'll get a fine. So. I don't think they'll ever make him go to jail. I don't. I, and I, by the way, I also don't think this judge would send him to jail if he pulled down his pants and wagged his junk at the jury, I don't think this judge would put him away for the weekend. I don't think anyone wants to be the judge who does that.
And although it would back up Stormy Daniels' testimony.
Listen, I cannot wait to hear her testify. I cannot wait to hear Michael Cohen testify. I cannot wait to hear David Pecker testify. I wish we could hear these people right. testifying, but it's going to be amazing following this case because it really, really, I mean, we're still catching up on his evil deeds to cheat to win 2016. We haven't even started the evil deeds to win 2020 cases. And it's really true. I mean, if they can put Trump on trial for campaign finance fraud by bribing the porn star he banged while his wife was recovering from childbirth, they can do it to any of us, Allison. They can do any of us.
I'm worried. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about what's been going on in Congress. I think there was a little bit of a little fisticuffs today where some guy called Matt Gaetz a tubbo because he called him a squish and, you know, talking about vacating motions to vacate and Speaker Johnson, who is looking like he wants to bring Ukraine aid and other foreign aid to the floor. And of course, a fourth bill to reintroduce their draconian border rules that, you know, a lot of which were covered in the bipartisan one that came down from the Senate. Why they don't just pick that bill up and pass it, I'll never fucking understand.
Yeah.
But they want to do it piecemeal. And Johnson is basically saying to the reporters and the press that I don't care if my job is in danger. We have to support Ukraine and Israel and the Indo-Pacific. And he didn't say humanitarian aid to Gaza, but that's in there, $9 billion worth. So now there's, you know, the Freedom Caucus has initiated what they call the FART program. Where they sit and make sure somebody's always present so that they can't, like, the Dems can't, or even some Republicans can't sneak past some unanimous consent or something and get anything passed. It's falling apart. I mean, it has been falling apart, but it's really falling apart now.
So, in other words, the short version of what you just said is the most do-nothing Congress in history has found all new ways to do nothing.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we're talking about here, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of theater, except real theater creates jobs. This is Republican theater. And Republican theater is stuff that can get legislators on Fox News or Newsmax that night in a clip. I don't know what's more scary, Allison, help me with this, because here's what keeps me up at night. What's scarier? That Mike Johnson has no control over a few members of his caucus because they just do what Putin wants? Or is it scarier to wonder if Mike Johnson's actually in cahoots with them all along and it's all theater to stall Ukraine funding even further because all of them are just doing what Putin wants? Because it's one of those two things. And both of them are terrifying to me. I think Hakeem Jeffries said it best when he said this is going to be Johnson's moment to show if he's Churchill or Chamberlain. But wow, can we just say Republican Speaker of the House is the Spinal Tap drummer of government jobs. I mean, I long for the days of Denny Hastert-like stability, don't you?
Yeah, it's weird what we end up longing for in this new abnormal, as some of my friends would say. Let's also discuss, because, you know, you and I like to take a little bit of time to talk about what we're going to talk about, but some of these amendments that are going on in Congress, particularly things like Marjorie Taylor Greene wanting to force people who vote for Ukraine aid to be conscripted to fight in their army, or ordering the president to withdraw from NATO, which clearly shows who she's working for, and that would be Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Or to she had something about actually using space lasers.
Yeah, space laser technology.
Yeah,
and I mean, like it. Look, this is the playbook. I mean, in D.C. and in New York today, it's all about delays. Marjorie Taylor Greene knows that requiring House members to enlist in the Ukrainian military if they vote for Ukraine aid is stupid and it's not going anywhere. But she knows it's going to slow things down a little bit more. And keep in mind, what's his name from Wisconsin, who's quitting, another one of the Republicans, was supposed to leave tomorrow. Johnson's talked him into staying until Saturday. But after that, these guys are going away. They've only got until Saturday to do all this. And there's a very good chance they're not going to do any of it. But I think Jared Moskowitz has been really funny because he added some amendments to it to rename Marjorie Taylor Greene's office to the Neville Chamberlain Room. So
yeah, and he also wanted to make her the special envoy to Congress for Vladimir Putin.
Good for him for calling her out. I mean, that's exactly what is happening. Look, there's only one person who can end the Ukraine war, and it's Vladimir Putin. And any Republican who is saying that we have to negotiate a peaceful end to this, they're not a peacemaker. They're bootlickers for an authoritarian genocidal invasion and occupation. I mean, if you're the nonviolent candidate, then you're on the side of Putin getting his troops, what we call the fuck, out of Ukraine. So essentially, what all of these Republicans, including Marjorie Taylor Greene and all of that Nazi clot caucus, Thomas Massie, they're all saying that essentially, if someone invades your house and kills your children, rapes your wife, destroys your yard, burns down your garage, how much of your home should you give that person so he'll start being nice to you? Mm-hmm. This is Hitler in Czechoslovakia. We're witnessing these people doing this man's bidding right in front of us.
Yeah, well, that's long been the Trump side's quote-unquote Ukraine peace plan, right? To give giant chunks, if not all of Ukraine, to Putin and reinstalling Yanukovych, who
In fairness, I mean, if you give Hitler Czechoslovakia, Allison, he'll behave. Just give him this one bit of Europe and he'll stop.
He'll stop. Yeah, he'll totally stop.
Amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, but for her to want to withdraw from NATO, force the president to withdraw from NATO, I mean, obviously that's not going to work, but you're right. It's a delay tactic.
I'm really ready for the Democrats to start putting our Republican friends on the defensive on their morality when it comes to Ukraine, aren't you?
Yeah. And we're seeing it, but it's not making the news, unfortunately. And it needs to start making the news. I think the media needs to step up their game a little bit. Well, my friend, it has been fascinating talking to you, as always, on this Fuglesang Friday. Everybody check out Tell Me Everything on SiriusXM Progress Channel 127. That's weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. And, of course, the John Fuglesang Show podcast. My friend John Fuglesang, thank you so much, and keep enjoying your tour.
Thank you. We're going to be playing in Philly on Saturday, the 27th of April. So come on down. We'd love to have you guys there. And thank you so much, Allison, for having the classiest outfit here. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, you're very sweet. Thank you very much. Everybody stick around. We'll be right back with the good news.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news.
Who likes good news, everyone? Then good news, everyone.
Good news. And if you have any good news, confessions, corrections, you want to play What the Fark is in your arc, which is where we try to guess what kind of animal it is or what the breed of your shelter pup is or what their name is or even like what color they are. That's fine. We can do that too. You can send those photos to us. If you don't have a pod pet, you can send us a picture. You can draw us one or you can send us an adoptable pet in your area. We'll see if we can help find him a forever home. Also, if you have a self shout out or a shout out to a loved one or funny shit your kids say or shit you say, anything like that. If you have a small business in your area you want to give a shout out to that could use our support, you can send that in. You can tell us about the kind of campaigning that you're doing locally. We'd love to hear about that. Any particular Democratic program that has helped you, whether it's the Affordable Care Act or even student debt forgiveness, you can send us your stories about that. If you had a good experience with the VA, I'd love to hear about it. Anything at all, really. Frog orgies, baby pictures, whatever you want to send to us.
Anything that's going to make us happy.
Yep. Send it to us at dailybeanspod.com. Dailybeanspod.com. Click on. Okay. You know what? I'm having a hard time talking today.
It happens. It's the end of the week.
Dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. I mean, I've only said it 8 million times in my life. But anyway, yeah, it's Friday. It's been a long week.
And there's been such an incredible response to Tuesday's good news. We have the best listeners in all the land. All of your responses were lovely and thoughtful. We could do several good news segments devoted solely to the people who wrote in to let us know that they are allies and for their hope that Anonymous also learns to become one. So thank you to everyone. We're putting all those responses together to give us joy when we need it. And we'll be peppering them in the good news in the future. So I'm excited about that.
Me too.
All right. First up from Anonymous, Pansexual. Hi there, longtime listener who subscribed for the first time the other day out of my desire to support quality, independent news and journalism. Thank you. I don't normally listen to the good news, but I went back to have a listen at the end of Wednesday so I could discover what Dana was talking about in the 418 episode. First, I wanted to say thank you very much. I was very moved by the way Dana handled the email about the potential, quote, LGBTQ indoctrination, unquote, with such grace, empathy, and compassion. Bravo to you, Dana. I am cisgender. I am also, however, bi, pan, and have been a part of the LGBTQ plus community for at least 3 decades now. I count a number of trans and non-binary people among my dearly loved ones. I think it's very important for your listeners who are not an active part of that community to gain an understanding of the type of hostility that our trans and non-binary friends and family and their allies are currently facing. I'd like to tell you a story about one of my closest friends. They're a professional specialist who's worked with trans people for several decades. Until several years ago, they completely loved their job and did it without incident. Then the anti-trans campaign began. Since that time, my friend has been doxxed, has had private photos of them and their partner taken, altered and presented as evidence of a suspect lifestyle, quote unquote, has had false complaints filed against them, all dismissed, but they still had to go through the stress of fighting them and clearing their name, and has had sometimes laughable, sometimes truly vile, but always easily provably false lies spread via social media about them. And the reason this has happened is because my friend works with trans people, cares deeply about the people they work with, and is excellent at their job. There's no other reason. For many years, my friend did their job without an issue. Then it all changed because a war against trans people began. I'm keeping the details deliberately vague to keep my friend safe, but I'm sharing it because I think the person who wrote the indoctrination email should know that there is and has been a sustained campaign of hate, lies, and hostility against trans and non-binary individuals and their allies. It's a nightmare to go through that, and it has real consequences for people's lives, and I wouldn't wish it on anyone. It's vitally important that we highlight what's happening and push back against the hate and the lies. Personally, I view that as being informed, not being indoctrinated. A major reason I made the decision to finally become a paid subscriber to the Daily Beans is because it's a woman-owned and operated news site. One of the hosts is an out lesbian, and LGBTQ plus issues are well covered. So thank you for all that you do. It is so appreciated.
What a fantastic submission. I promise I'm not going to harp on this, and I made a tweet about it. Just so everyone knows, we don't get these stories about the LGBTQ community from like Out Magazine or The Advocate or Pink News. They're CNN articles. They're political articles. This stuff is coming down because of the Supreme Court and legislature. So this is all mainstream news. Just happens to be about the community. Thank you so much for kicking us off with that. This is from Kelly, pronouns she and her. Hey, Beanie Babies. Sorry. The correct way to say Rosa de Laro's name is Dalaro.
Like Dalaro.
Okay. Dalaro. Laurel. But with an O. Dalaurel. Dalaurel.
Dalaro.
Dalaro. Got it. Okay. Dalaurel. She's Italian American from New Haven. That helps. Stop by for great pizza at Modern on State Street if you're in the area. I'm sending a photo of cherry blossoms in bloom at the historical Congressional Cemetery to tempt you to stop by this weekend in DC. It's my favorite kind because they're obnoxiously pink and very fluffy. This is the perfect time. All of the people that are going to DC this weekend, you're going to see the most beautiful cherry blossoms, and I could not be more jealous.
I'm very, very excited. And thank you for that submission. Okay, so Dalaro and Modern on State Street, if you're in the area. Thank you. Next up from Natalie, she, her. Hello, Allison and Dana. I hope you're both well. I wanted to give a shout out to an amazing woman-focused hobby group that I am part of called the War Dolls. We seek to get women involved in all kinds of board and tabletop games, such as Dungeons and Dragons and Warhammer, and to create an inclusive community to geek out in. Our Thursday night hobby call is on Discord, and it's a highlight of my week. being an out trans woman in a small town who just passed a year living as my authentic self isn't always easy. So I'm glad to have found a community that affirms me and shares my nerd passions. They are some lovely people. I've added two pictures. The first is a collection of my hand-painted miniatures of Star Wars for Star Wars Legion, a game I play every week at a local store. The second is my sweet girl Cola for pet tax, curled up next to me after a walk.
Oh my God, I love it. By the way, I don't see this as nerd stuff. I see this as art. Man, what's the difference between painting on a canvas and painting on these tiny little figures? I mean, I know there's differences, but you know what I mean? This is art.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And nerd stuff if you want, but I think it's pretty fucking cool.
Awesome.
And that dog's adorbs.
Yes.
All right. This one's from Anonymous, pronouns they, them. I'm a few days late for the correction, but as a person from Georgia, I must correct the Cairo syrup, Cairo, Georgia pronunciation. It's Cairo, like the letter K. Okay, that works. Cairo is corn syrup, not high fructose. It's real corn syrup with a little salt and vanilla. My great aunt used it in place of maple syrup. It was probably less expensive and easier to find in the South. I keep it in my pantry. Love the beans pod. Keep it up, ladies.
Cairo. All right. Great. Good to know. Next up from Jason, he and him, proud poppy from Abiquiu. Is that something?
I think it's Abiquiu.
Abiquiu?
Okay. I don't know. I think it's from Abiquiu, yeah, because it's Abiquiu, New Mexico. So I'm hoping that I'm saying that right because it's my home
state. That's where you're from.
Yeah.
Shout out. Good morning to the brilliant Leguminati. I wanted to congratulate my daughter, Lala, for getting accepted to St. John's in Santa Fe.
Nice.
It took a lot of hard work to get in, and we're very impressed by her intelligence and continuing quest of knowledge. So what's the model of your axolotl?
Nice.
The axolotl is the mascot of St. John's. Yeah. Ask a lot of questions. I'm overjoyed to say my daughter is a fighting axolotl.
That's fantastic.
Look at this guy.
That's
great. I love it when schools have awesome and strange
mascots. Yeah. So funny. All right. This one's from Lisa G. No pronouns given. Hello, AG and DG. Good news. We are departing from Atlanta, coming your way to the gala. All your podcasts have been so informative, humorous, and therapeutic. There have been many days when the news has driven me to tears and frustration and left me so depressed and distraught. And the only thing that got me in the morning was knowing that your podcast would be there to set things straight. And I've learned so much. Can't wait to meet you and the team. P.S. Please come to Atlanta for a show. I'm sharing a photo from 2020. My pup named Blue. She was a good luck charm in 2020, and she'll bring us home to an all-blue Congress and president in 2024.
Look at Blue.
Cute.
Adorable. And I can't wait to meet y'all. So I'm glad you're coming to DC. All right, next up, Julian, no pronouns. Seeing the horrors of the GOP that they have unleashed on this country, my family and friends and I consider myself a recovering Republican. Joe Biden was the first Democrat I ever voted for, and I'm now proud to be officially registered as a Democrat. The GOP I once supported is dead. Trump isn't the only person responsible for its death, but he certainly double-tapped it. I'm proud to say the legacy I leave behind when I eventually run out of tomorrows makes amends for my time as a Republican. I'm the proud father of two amazing young women who are helping me make the world a better place, My oldest daughter is an OBGYN with a fellowship in complex family planning. She got married recently, picture attached. Her husband is also an OBGYN and has a fellowship in IVF. Both are committed to the health and well-being of their patients as they help them have agency over their own bodies. Both have skills the GOP would like to see criminalized, but their commitment to women's health issues is unwavering. My youngest daughter is a civil rights attorney who is dedicated to helping underrepresented people build wealth through home ownership. She is the only in-house attorney where she works that's in her 20s. Oh my gosh, she's in her 20s. That's incredible. My wife and I are so proud of these amazing women. I don't know what we did to deserve them. As strong women yourselves, I thought you would enjoy reading about them. So thank you for letting me share them with you.
Look at this gorgeous wedding photo. My goodness. You guys look like cake toppers.
Yeah, this is beautiful couple.
My God.
Just gorgeous. Gorgeous couple.
What a great way to end the segment.
What an amazing family you have, Julian. Thank you for sending that in and sharing that with us. And everybody, thank you for sending in your good news. I really appreciate it. We really appreciate all the well wishes too. And thanks to John Fugelsang for dropping by. You should check them out. They're on the Sexy Liberal Tour. And of course, we're on tour as well. That's at Alice. You can get tickets at AliceandGill.com. And you can check out all of Dana's shows coming up and galas coming up at DanaGoldberg.com.
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here for the weekend?
I do not, other than just telling everyone, have a fantastic time at the gala. For those of you that are going to be in Portland, Seattle, I'll be there and I can't wait to meet you. But in the meantime, soak up the Beans family. We're a big family and we are a good family.
It's going to be awesome. And everybody, make sure you check out the Jack podcast this weekend. We got some news. Judge Cannon actually denied some of De Oliveira and Nauta's motions to dismiss. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Trump's response in the immunity case. We have a lot to cover, so I look forward to that. But even before that show comes out, I'm going to see a lot of you on Saturday. So until then, Dana, you'll be back. We'll be back on in the ears on Monday, yeah?
Yes, we will.
Awesome. Until then, please take care of yourself, take care of each other, take care of the planet, take care of your mental health, take care of your family. Vote blue over Q.
And take all that family with you.
I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the Beans.
The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg. Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joel Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit mswmedia.com.
MSW Media.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler...
How much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary...
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry.
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, "Show me in a courtroom how we were at war."
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing in the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, "If I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized."
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.